Thanks for subscribing to the Calvary Chapel Melbourne podcast. It's our hope and prayer that God will use this message to draw you closer to Jesus. Don't forget to sync your device regularly to get the latest podcasts from Calvary Chapel Melbourne. For more information, log on to calvaryccm.com.
Now, as you are getting your Bibles and opening them, if you missed last weekend's teaching, I'm encouraging you to go to the website. As you know, now it's a few hours after this teaching here. We'll be on the website. It's free. You can watch it. And the reason I want you to watch it is last week we introduced the person of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? If I would ask Christians right now, the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Do you know anything about the person that lives in you? Do you ever relate to the person that lives in you? Oh, Pastor Mark, I know that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I got it. No, that isn't it. And we taught last week in a lot, so you need to get that teaching and understand. I'm going to give you a very short summary of last weekend. Because, you know, we had the youth conference at the weekend, and everybody's doing all kinds of things. But here's what I want to share with you. Why would I want you to understand about the Holy Spirit? Well, here's why. Here's one reason why. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 50 times. Well, you'll never understand the book of Acts if you don't understand the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so what does that mean? Now, it goes way beyond the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. It has to refall back to an experience with the Holy Spirit. So those of you that have been coming to our church a while, you know, we're now 27 years, and God's blessed us with the campuses and thousands of people coming to Christ. It's just been amazing to us. But I want to ask you a question. I'm going to say, see if you know what this is. If nothing changes, well, you got it. If something changes, you say, oh, Pastor Mark, what in the world are you talking about? Well, thinking. See, if we think wrong, that's who we become. What we think is who we are. So I want to share with you this morning, Christ followers often, actually probably the majority, don't understand the Holy Spirit at all. Unbelievers definitely do not understand the Holy Spirit. So as I teach you this morning, if something changes, what? Will that be good or bad for you? It'll be good for you. So that's why you need to watch last weekend. I'll give this very quick. You put your belts on because I'm going to go through this first part very quick. But then when you watch it again on the video, you can just see exactly what I'm talking about. Now, we discovered, as you'll hear on there, that most Christians, of course, understand, know about the Spirit, but they don't have this viable relationship in Him or with Him. Now, our role in life is going through the Bible, especially, obviously, the Gospels, to see what Jesus did, how he lived. And that role is basically goes down to the person of Jesus. Now, what did Jesus have in a relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit? Remember, they're all Trinity. Well, Jesus was born of the Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit was the Father and Mary was the Mother. So he was born of the Spirit. But you begin to see that our spiritual role model, you'll see that Jesus had an amazing, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to go through this quickly. Here's the first thing. When you see on the overhead, Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll give you an understanding of what that means. He was being baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist, in water. But while he was there, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. So that was his introduction, came upon him. Remember, it was in kind of a like a dove. It really wasn't a dove, but it was a representation of the Holy Spirit. Now, the next thing we see in the Scripture is this. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Now, you need to understand the word full, because the Spirit-filled life is related to that. Full simply means this. We come under the Holy Spirit's influence. He directs our lives. He comforts our lives. He shows us how to do life. He convicts us when we're not doing things right. So the Holy Spirit was full. He allowed the Spirit. Now, when you come under the influence, it's not a weird thing. It's just a submission to God. When you come under that, the next thing is this. Jesus was led by the Spirit. He wasn't doing life alone. He not only had 12 disciples, but he was being led by the Holy Spirit. And you remember in that story, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And last, when he returns after that temptation, which he defeated the devil, remember how he defeated him? With the Word of God. And the next thing you see is this one. Jesus ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. So his whole ministry began at the age of 30. He only ministered 3.5 years. But here's something very important. It doesn't make sense to us because we can't wrap it around our mind. When Jesus came to the earth, he was fully God and yet fully man. And when he came to the earth, he laid aside the God part, the divinity part. And he operated as a man, but he changed so many lives. How did that work? While on the earth, Jesus basically limited his divine power, and everything he did was done through the power of the Holy Spirit in a person just like you and me. Now, the reason Jesus did that is to show you and me that I can live just like Jesus. I'm not God. There isn't a God in this room. Hello. But I can be filled with the Spirit, and that's exactly the way Jesus ministered. Now, while Jesus was here, remember he picked up 12 disciples. And every day he would guide them. He would direct them. He would say to them, no, that's not right. I'm trying to tell you this. Come on, let's talk about it. Let's get it corrected. He loved them. He showed them how to speak to the Father, our Father who art in heaven. He was just with them for 3.5 years every day. Every morning they got up and the disciples would kind of say, hey, where are we going today? You're a leader. Where are we going today? And sometimes even when he went somewhere, they were a little shocked. You remember the time Jesus got up and said, well, we're going to Samaria. Remember, the Samaritan people didn't like the Jews, and the Jews didn't like the Samaritan people. So the disciples said, I don't know who you heard from, but that wasn't the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, oh, yes, it was. We're going there. You remember what happened in the story? A woman came to the well. She had been married and divorced 7 times, and she just absolutely didn't know anything about God. And he said, would you like living water? Would you like your life changed? She said, yes. She goes into town. The whole town comes out and gets saved. Now, would you say that the Holy Spirit led him in the right place? Hello? That was a question for you. The rest of you going, that was not a hard answer, was it? Of course he was led. Then Jesus sat down with him one morning, and he said this. Guys, I got something to tell you. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to die for the sins of all the world. After I die, 3 days later, I'll be raised from the dead. And then I'm going back to heaven. And the disciples are going, okay, tomorrow morning, Jesus, after you do all this and you're back to heaven, what are we doing then? We have nobody to lead us. 3.5 years we got up and you just told us where to go. It was great. Now you leave us on our own. How in the world is that going to work? Does that make sense to you from them? Yeah, they're thinking, okay, this has been great, but this is not going to be good. What's going to happen? Well, he answered them. Here it is. Take a look on the overhead. John 14, 16 through 18. Sebastian Vieira, take a look. And Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Or some of your Bibles will say another comforter. The word another means exactly the same. Now, that sounds strange, but what he means is Jesus was part of the Trinity. The person that's going to take Jesus' place is a part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and you can guess who's coming. God the Holy Spirit. So he says, to be with you for how long? So if you're a Christian, how long will the Holy Spirit be with you? For your whole life. For your whole life. And what is that Spirit called? This is important. The Spirit of what? Truth. Well, what does that mean? Well, everything he leads us into, everything he teaches us, everything he opens our minds to is truth. And by the way, who's the author of the Bible? This is an answer for you. The Holy Spirit. He wrote the Bible. Is it all truth? Of course it is. Now, then he says this, the world, unbelievers, cannot accept him. They're blinded because they never sees him or knows him. But then he says this. Watch these words. You'll see it highlighted on the overhead. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in the future in you. I, Jesus said, will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you through the person of the Holy Spirit. So what Jesus is simply saying to this, to his disciples, relax. Just as I led you every day, you had a personal relationship with me. We interacted all the time. You are going to have the same exact relationship with the Holy Spirit when I leave. Exactly the same. I will not leave you without anybody to take care of you. Then Jesus began to teach them what the three relationships, not with him, but with the Holy Spirit, would be like. So I'm going to give you those three today. So if you're a Christian, it starts before you're a Christian, actually. Here's the first one. I encourage you to write it down. Remember, we're studying the person of the Holy Spirit all the way through the book of Acts. So you'll see all of these things taking place. Number one, our relationship, every person's relationship, number one, they will be convicted by the Spirit. In other words, Jesus used the words alongside or with. Before salvation, before a person becomes a believer, we're all born, as you well know, sinners because of Adam. We're all born as sinners, and we're separated from God. So as we're not saved yet, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? Well, you see it right there highlighted. Convicted. And he's convicting us basically of one thing. What is the one sin that will keep a person from going to heaven? What's the one sin? Not repenting of that sin and accepting Jesus Christ. See, you can be a multi-murderer, a rapist, a stealer, a whatever. All those are sins. But the one sin that keeps you from heaven is accepting Jesus Christ's work on the cross, asking him to forgive us, and asking him to come into our life. We'll do that as we do in every single service. So what does that mean? Just picture me, an unbeliever. I'm sitting in a service, or I'm watching a Billy Graham old crusade, or I'm listening on a podcast to somebody teach about the gospel. And all of a sudden, you're there and you're going, man, somebody's like speaking to me. This is weird. It isn't the guy up there. It isn't Billy Graham. And you're hearing the Holy Spirit like you've never heard him before. He's what? He's alongside you. And what is he saying to you? You better listen to that guy speaking. Billy Graham, he knows what he's talking about. You're not right with God. You're not going to heaven. You'll never be good enough. So pay attention. It's coming right out of the Bible. I wrote it. So what is he doing? He's convicting me. Is that a bad thing? No, it's actually a good thing. And what he means is you need to get right with God. So whether you do that privately or publicly in a service or whatever. Remember one day, Nicodemus, a very, very strong religious Jewish man, came to Jesus at night. And Jesus said to him, you need to be born again. Well, that was the conviction. You're very religious, but religion won't get you to heaven. Only forgiven people go to heaven. And the only one that can forgive you is me, Jesus Christ. You got it? It isn't the church that gets you to heaven. I can't get you to heaven. And so that conviction is huge. So when a person accepts Jesus Christ, asks forgiveness of their sins, and the minute they do that, it changes the relationship from alongside. Look at relationship number two. Indwelt by the Holy Spirit, lives in us. Now that's different. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit goes from alongside of us speaking to us to come to live in us. Now, he comes into our lives and takes up permanent residence. How do I know this? How long did he say he'd be with us? Forever. Now, when he comes, he begins an inward work. So when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes in you, comes in me, and he begins to change us to really the image of Jesus Christ, Romans 8, that I'd be conformed to live like that. And it's an inward work. And realistically, you know what we come? This is supposed to sound strange to you, but it's absolutely biblical. When he comes to live in us, we become the temple of the living God. Now, the Jewish people had to go to a physical temple. You, if you're a real Christian, you know, lots of people say they're Christians, but they never, ever, ever follow it through. There's no change in their life. There's no fruit. There's none of that. And Jesus said, if there isn't any fruit, you don't have a relationship with me. So, again, we're never going to be perfect people, but if you have the Holy Spirit in you, when's the last time you acknowledged him? Do you ever go to him for wisdom? Do you ever talk to him? Can you imagine that your wife brings somebody into the home and you say, who's that in the bedroom? Oh, it's just somebody I knew from way back. They're going to be there. And you don't know the person at all. How would you get to know that person? That was not a hard question. How would you get to know the person? You talk to them. Where are you from? What's happened? Whatever. Well, let me ask you, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit what? Inside you. You ever talk to him? Pastor Mark, that's weird. No, it isn't weird. That's regular. That's exactly how Jesus lived, except he was next to them live. Well, the Holy Spirit is live in us. So that's the relationship. When he comes into us, he begins to offer all kinds of things. He's the comforter. He's the one that leads us into the way we should live in our life. He's the one that can come to you and go, no, don't do that. Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit say, we hear that one, don't we? Turn that off, right? Why is he trying to do? He's trying to make us more like Jesus Christ. Then one day Jesus said, there's a third relationship you need to have with the Holy Spirit. Here it is. Look at it on the overhead, Acts 1:8. But you, talking to his disciples, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So that third relationship is simply this. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, comes on us, overflows us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an outward work. It's equipping all of us to do the ministry of Jesus. Now, you saw in verse 1:8, many people misunderstand the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. The person and the power is to give us strength, boldness to witness about Jesus Christ. Did you get that? Now, why would God put the Holy Spirit in us and does all these other benefits to us? Directs us, helps us pray, gives us answers to life. He does all that. But what is God's whole purpose? Remember, Jesus came to die for how much of the world? All the world. So the world needs to know it. Well, sometimes we have to have a little help and a little push to bold. You ever doing that? You know somebody's there. Well, that looks like an open door. I should say something, but I really don't want to say anything about Jesus. They'll think I'm crazy. Am I right? So what he's going to give us is a boldness, not brash. You're not going on every door. Do you accept Jesus Christ? My pastor told me to knock on your door. That's stupid. But if I don't have boldness, you say, well, I'm going to heaven. What do I care? Well, something wrong with your heart. Because somebody led you to Christ. So the Holy Spirit comes to be a witness, to help us witness, to share the gospel. And that's why you'll see through the book of Acts, it starts with 120 people. In 30 years, they turned their whole part of the world totally upside down for Jesus Christ. With 120. Think of that. And so that's what this whole thing's about. It's not about all kinds of other crazy things that you think it is. Now, it's an outward work. It's not inward. It's outward. We're telling people about Jesus. Now, so what Jesus taught is really this. In the life of a Christ follower, there's a distinct, separate ministry other than the indwelling of the Spirit that takes place at conversation. There's an empowering by the Spirit. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, up in the balcony, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Here was Jesus, he's meeting with his disciples. And he says this, all of our campuses. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. And that's going to be the gift of the Holy Spirit. My Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. Now, the disciples knew kind of what the Holy Spirit looked like in the life of Jesus because they were with him for 3.5 years. They saw how the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus. Demons were sent out. People were healed. Lots of people came to salvation. But they themselves didn't know what it meant to be filled or baptized with the Spirit. They just didn't understand it. So let's watch how God solves that problem. Acts chapter 2. Just flip right back to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Now watch this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Now remember who's all together. It's 120 people, the disciples, the 12 disciples, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and lots of women and other believers, men. They were all together and in one place. And it was Pentecost. Pentecost was one of the three Jewish Old Testament pilgrimage festivals, and Jews would come from all over the world. So at this festival, Jews would come, and you'll see this later, come from all over the world. It's a celebration of Thanksgiving feast for the grain harvest. Now, these 120 had been waiting in Jerusalem in that upper room, basically unity in prayer, following, asking God, how are we going to receive that gift? What's it going to look like? Now, here's what it says. In one place. Now, you know, I've been a Christian basically, as you know, 71 years. And I used to always believe this place was the upper room. And because the upper room, remember when Jesus was telling his disciples about he was going to the cross, he washed their feet, and we learned how to do communion. That was in an upper room. We don't even know what that is. I've been to Israel 17 times leading tours, and there is an upper room there, but of course it's not the same one from 2,000 years ago, but it's fairly small. But I don't think it was in the upper room. Here's what I think. Most of the scholars today think it was a room like this, that here was the temple in Jerusalem. Remember, Herod redid it on top, and he enlarged the open areas, the courts there. Now, the temple was the same at the back there. That was pretty much exactly the same. But all these places had rooms. Now, why do I think they were waiting in a room like this? Because you're going to see more next week. Over 5,000 people heard the sounds, the supernatural sounds, and the things happening. 5,000 people outside an upper room that might hold 50 people? Maybe not. So you'll understand it. Does it really matter? No. But I'm just trying to give you an understanding. That's where I think it happened. Now, you'll see that at the end. It just makes sense. Now, when the Holy Spirit arrived in that upper room, they'd been waiting 10 days. They didn't know when the Holy Spirit was going to come. They'd just been waiting 10 days. And all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit arrived, you're going to see, and I'll ask you to write it down, three supernatural signs. Supernatural signs. Do you think supernatural is biblical? Of course it is. God's supernatural. It's not natural. It's supernatural. And you're going to see this. So look at Acts 2:2. Suddenly, look at it. Important you have a Bible. A sound. Like. Key word. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. How many of you ever heard a violent wind in your life? If you live in Florida, can I ask that question again? Yeah, you know what? When did you hear that? While you're trying to get the crazy hurricane shutters up. Am I right? Ah, it's coming. It's coming. So we're familiar with that kind of thing. But notice what you're going to see here, sign number one, a sound like the blowing of a very strong wind. It wasn't a wind. It was a sound like it. Can you imagine 120 in that room and a hurricane wind comes? They're all smashed up against the sides of the wall. Oh, this is the Holy Spirit. Bang, 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 bang. No, it sounded like a wind. Do you get it? So it wasn't a wind, but it sounded like the wind. So what is that a representative of when you see that? Well, Jesus tells us what that is. In John 3:8, look what he says. The wind blows wherever it pleases, He's talking about the Holy Spirit. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. Look at the last line. So it is with everyone born of what? The Spirit. So see, that's exactly it. So this sound like powerful wind, write it down, equals the power of the Holy Spirit. This was the presence of the Holy Spirit. He had come, and you'll see in a moment, he'll baptize them with that power. He's there. He's supernaturally there. He is present. So, verse 3. They saw next what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on how many of them? Each one of them. That's very important. Now, here's sign number 2. What appeared like tons of fire came to rest on them. So, can you see the 120? Man, my head is hot as crazy. In fact, I think it's burning my head off. No, it's like that. Do you got me? Remember when Jesus was baptized in the water, and then he was baptized in the Spirit, like a dove came and sat on his head. See, it's always like, it's a symbolism of what was really taking place. So you say, well, what does fire represent? Pretty much through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, fire simply means this: purity, holiness. Now that shouldn't surprise you, because what is the Spirit? He's the Holy Spirit. So here was the purity that they would need. First of all is the wind. That's the power they're going to need. God's power is not man's ability. It's very different. You and I can't do what God wants us to do with our ability. I need, just like Jesus did, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we read that, it said it came to rest, that fire that really wasn't fire, it came to rest in how many of them? Every single one, 120. Now, that's very different from the Old Testament. Understand this. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit basically came upon selected individuals to equip them for special tasks or services, and usually just for a small season. So let me explain to you how that would look. If we were in the Old Testament days, and we take all of our campuses on the weekend, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people, 6,000 people, whatever. If you take all of them in the Old Testament, I would say this. Maybe one of you would have the Holy Spirit on you. Now, the others were following God, but they weren't anointed by the Holy Spirit. In fact, let me share with you. If you go through the Old Testament, basically 16 Old Testament people, leaders of Israel, had that special anointing or that special filling. Let me give you some examples. Joshua, Joseph, Daniel, and David. They had that anointing on them. Most of them for a short period of time to do something special. And you remember King Saul had the anointing? You know what God did when he went off the wall? He removed the anointing from him. Couldn't be used by God anymore. Understand? So think how precious this is for us today. If you are a Christian, number one, you have the Holy Spirit what? Living in you. Not true in those days. If you are baptized in the Spirit, we'll explain that over the weeks, what that means, what's it mean to be filled with the Spirit. Think how blessed we are. The power to witness. In those days, out of all these people on our campuses and all of our services, maybe one. Could I hear maybe 2 amens from that? Do you think that's a blessing or not? Yeah, every single one of them. And see, these are Jews. They know the Old Testament. They're going, whoa, every one of us? You're kidding. No, they're not kidding. That's exactly what God did, because he's going to use every single one of them. Now, here's the part that you have to just take your belt like you're in your car and tighten it up a little bit. Okay, everybody, come on, just follow me. Everybody, just tighten this belt up. Because the next thing I'm going to teach you about, but I'm just going to summarize it, is going to shake some of you. Are you tight? Are you buckled in? Are you all buckled in? Okay, Vieira, Sebastian, are you buckled in? Okay, here we go. Look at verse 4. And then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They began to speak in other languages. So here's something important. When you think about that, it's a challenge, but it's biblical. Here's what happened. So here's what I want you to see. Here in the New Testament, we see all believers can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every single one of you. Why do I know that's true? Because God has a command in the scripture. Look at his command through the Apostle Paul. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't come under the influence of wine. Come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Don't get drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that a suggestion? No, it's a command. Actually, in the original language, it means on keep on being filled. And we'll learn later the reason we have to keep on being filled under the influence of the Holy Spirit because we spiritually leak. Now, that sounds really strange to you. See, when I'm not under the influence of the Holy Spirit, whose influence am I under? Mark Ballmer. Is that good? Just ask my wife. She'll immediately tell you that is not good. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's for another teaching. Now, when you see that going, basically look at verse 4. And all of them were filled with the Spirit and all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Ability. Now, notice here's the third sign. You have the wind, you have the sound, you have the fire, and you have the Spirit. Now watch this. All 120 Spirit-filled believers began to speak in other tongues, languages, as the Spirit enabled them. Now, when they spoke those other languages, it wasn't because they had a crash course in Italian. They just began to speak in other languages. In this particular case, you'll see, it's regular languages around the world. Sometimes later, it's a heavenly language. They were not forced. They weren't overtaken by the Holy Spirit. They simply yielded and spoke the praises of God. They were speaking in another language. Now, here's why you have to have your belt. Because they didn't know those languages. They didn't even know what they were speaking. But they couldn't do it without God's power. So all speaking in tongues is supernatural. Something you can't do on yourself. Now, that mention of speaking in tongues or other language is very confusing. You see people take it to the craziest extent, weirdness, whatever. And then you see the opposite, which is always what Satan does, to the extent which it isn't biblical anymore at all. Over here, there's lots of people that say, you know this, and they're wonderful people. They're Christians. They're going to go to heaven. They just say this. When the Holy Spirit came and the Jesus basically went when he went to the cross and then all the disciples died, there's no more supernatural in the world. There's no healings. There's no gifts of the Spirit. There's none of that stuff. Sorry, I don't believe that at all. And you'll see next week that Joel says in the Old Testament, no, this is for you, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren. Amen? I'm glad God does spiritual, supernatural things today in all of our lives. So I'm not going to talk about it today. I'll talk about it later. Actually, I'll teach as we go through the book of Acts, there's three types of tongues that are mentioned. Don't focus on the tongues. Focus on the power of the Holy Spirit. You got it? So don't go weird. You can undo your belt. That's one of the difficult ones, okay? Undo your belt. Here we go. Now, I want you to undo your belt because you have to take your shoes off now. Not literally. Some of you didn't take a bath. All right, not literally. So take your sandals off, and I want you to put yourself in one of those 120 people. What kind of people were they? Ordinary. Just like you. Just like me. Now, as they're going through that experience, what are they thinking? Do you think those people as all of a sudden they're speaking a language, they don't know what it is, but it's coming out because of the Holy Spirit. Do you think they had any questions? Would you have any questions? Say, what is this? Well, let me show you how that looks when you see the scripture. I think it's just powerful. One of the things they remembered was the Great Commission. Remember before Jesus went to the cross, after the cross, I mean, when he was resurrected, he gave them this. If you don't know it, here it is for you. Jesus said this. Then Jesus came to them and said, Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now he's talking to all of us as Christians, Christ followers. Therefore, go and make disciples of how many nations? All nations. That's a lot of nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. So one of the first questions I have up here is, I don't know what their questions were. I'm just surmising. You can come up with your own ideas. If that was you, you get your sandals off, you're in their place. What kind of things would be going through your mind? Well, here's the one. I think they're thinking, okay, all nations. How are we going to carry out the Great Commission that Jesus gave us? How are we going to get to all those nations? How is that going to work? That doesn't make any sense to me. Now, when you see that, there's another commission. It's very similar, and you're going to see this. Mark 16, 15. Take a look at it. And he said to them, go into all the world. Did that make it better? No, that make it just as complicated. Go and make disciples of all nations. Then Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Here's my question I think they had. How will we share the gospel and teach the principles of Jesus to the whole world? Well, Pastor Mark, come on. You've been living long enough. You just call Southwest, get a flight, and head over to one of the nations. Today, yes. In those days, how do you get to Rome in those days? Well, you call an Italian airline. See, they're thinking, it's not just there. How many nations is it? All nations. Whoa. So they're thinking, this can't happen. We'll never be able to do what God told us to do. Jesus made it very specific. It's not just this next nation next door. It's all the world. So it's a huge challenge for them thinking, I don't know what we're going to do. Now, there's a bigger one. How many of you ever traveled to foreign countries? Let me see. And when you get to this country you're traveling to, you don't know the language. Is that a little difficult? Yeah, especially if you have to go to the restroom. By the way, I've learned, try to learn that language wherever you're going. Write it down somewhere. That's it. And if you can't do that, here's what you do. Am I right? I see people do that, and the people in those foreign countries goes, yeah, they want the potty. It's over here to the left. Am I right? All right. So what do you think their question is? If they can even get to that nation, here it is. We know only our language. How will we learn the languages of people in other parts of the world? Is that a valid question? Would you have asked it? Yeah. I don't have a computer program that tells me how to do that. There is no computer. So I'm trying to think, okay, I get to Rome. I don't speak that language at all. How can I share the gospel? Well, Jesus had an answer for it. It's an amazing one in this particular situation. And I want to show you that, and that's what I just want to tell you about, because here's what Jesus said. I'm going to read it to you again, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and it did. And you will be my witnesses. You will be in Jerusalem. Okay, we got that one. In Judea, yeah. Samaria, yeah. Ends of the earth, no. It doesn't work. Now, do you think that God gave them that promise and he had an answer to every one of their questions? Do you think so? Yeah, exactly. And how do I know that? Watch this. Look at verse, chapter 2, verse 5. Vera, Sebastian, you guys online? Now that we're staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from what? Every nation under heaven. You see, they're questioning, how are we going to get to all these nations? Well, this was a representative of what? God says, no problem. I will bring them all to you. Do you like that? It was like God said, oh, I got to think of something now. Oh, man, that could be it. It could be that celebration of Pentecost. No, he had planned this a long time before. And you're going to learn principles at the end. You can trust our all-wise God. See, so they don't have an answer to it. He says, I will bring the people to you. Now, when you see that, to you and me, that just says something. He directed the Jews from all over the world to Jerusalem at the perfect time. They had just been filled with the Spirit. That's why they had to wait 10 days, because some of those people would still be coming in to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And he told them to wait. You will not be used unless you're filled with the Spirit of God and have a bold witness. Now, this Spirit of God, this witness, this speaking in tongues was very different than normal. You won't see basically that replaced heart ever. You'll never see in the Bible again like fire or like a wind. You'll never see that again. But you will see from time to time more and more miracles. Now, why did God give them this unique gift of being able to speak 15 different languages to these people? Let me show you how that looks. Can you write this down this morning? God always has a perfect plan and a perfect timing for you. We question, we all question very often, but he's got a perfect time and a perfect plan for you. See, Jeremiah 29 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord's plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I remember way back in 1969, God said to Linda and I, you need to move to Florida from Michigan. And we said, well, we don't mind that. We'd been traveling there. We vacationed there. If that's what you want, God will go. And I don't have time to tell you the story. But I was a hospital pharmacist. I didn't know what would happen. I didn't know all those kind of things. But God arranged every single thing perfectly in our life. Was it a big step of faith for us? You better believe it. But God did this. And I've learned, not perfectly, but I've learned that when God directs us, he'll take care of us. And that's just what he does. So understand this. Look at verse 6. What's going to draw them? What's going to draw all these people who are celebrating a festival? They're not even around. They're in different parts of the temple and so forth. What's going to draw them? Look at this. When they heard this sound. What is that sound? It sounds like something we haven't heard before. A crowd came together in bewilderment. Because each one, when they gathered around, they heard where that sound was coming from. Each one heard them speaking in his own language. Now, what grabbed their attention? The wind. The fire, they didn't grab them, but the sound of the wind grabbed them. And then in verse 7, it says this, utterly amazed as they get there, and the 120 are speaking 15 different languages. They know none of them. They don't even know what they're saying. But the people out there are going, that's impossible. Now, why is that impossible? Look at verse 7. Utterly amazed, they ask, are not these men who are speaking Galileans? They know they're down in Jerusalem, and Galilee was north in Israel. And they knew, somehow, that the Galileans were not very good speakers. In fact, they had a difficulty pronouncing glutturals and had a habit of swallowing the syllables when they were speaking. They're thinking, man, we can't even understand them normally when they're speaking our language, the Jewish language. But how can we hear them? Look at verse 8. Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Pure, clear. Well, what did those languages look like? Look at verse 9 through 11. Parthians, these are the nations. Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Parphygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and people, Gentiles who were converted to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Now, there's something you need to understand. Tongues is an amazing gift, mostly for individual use. I'll talk about that later. It's an amazing gift from God. But I want you to write this down. The tongues were a supernatural gift from God. Absolutely. But what was the message? The message was the goodness of God. It wasn't, oh, they're speaking tongues. No, it was the message of what? The goodness of God. Can I hear an amen right there? See, it's not about us. It's not about tongues. It's about our God. The goodness of our God. And so as they're doing this, it begins to, their mind begins to think back, wow. Now, these 120 spirit-filled believers were praising God's work. What two things did it do? Number one, it captured the attention of the people. Now, the Jews that came and heard this and were hearing God's word, it's just like I would say to you. Let me just give you an example. I don't know what, have no idea what they said. Here I am speaking your language, and there's 15 different languages in our campuses. But it comes from all the different 120. Who knows who spoke? It doesn't matter. Here's what they're saying like this. You know, God knows you're here. He's so glad that you're here. And he wants you to praise him because he's the God that created you. And I, God, created you in my image. And I want you to be a follower of me. That's the kind of things he's saying. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I love you. I love you. My grace is greater than your sin. Can you hear that being coming from these people? And these people are hearing this, whoa, that's all about our God that we worship. Remember, the Jews worship the same God. Now, the problem is when you see the people there, they were all Jews. Some of them lived in Jerusalem. Some of these people could have been the same people that said this, crucify him! Because they didn't believe in Jesus at all. They only believed in God. But God knew. Number two, when that happened, something else is going to happen. And I can't tell you because it's next week. No, I'll give you a little simple. What you're going to see next week is God is setting the stage for Peter to preach his first sermon. He never preached a sermon before. And when he finishes teaching his sermon. Now, I want you to listen to this. 3,000 Jews accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, let me ask you a question. Did he do that with his ability? Or did he do it through the power of the Holy Spirit? Yeah. All right. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit? To witness boldly. He would stand in front of these people who didn't believe in Jesus. And you know what he says? You'll see this next week. Don't miss it. He says, you're the one that crucified Jesus. Now that's bold. 3,000 people. Can you meet me? Anybody say, you're the cause of this. I'm dead. Where's my police guys here? Come on, help me. 3,000. And you know what came from that? Where you're sitting right now. From that 3,000 will be the beginning of the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. That's your history. That's my history. And it started with what? 120 being baptized and filled in the Holy Spirit. I want to end with three things quickly. And I just want you to write these three down. Number one, where God guides, he provides. Wherever you need guidance and he directs you through the Holy Spirit, he'll provide what you need. He'll provide what you need. I had to learn that myself. You know, usually I have this. I take maybe, because I'm a slow guy, I take sometimes 25 to 30 hours a week to get this teaching because I try to make it as simple as I can for you and yet still not ever move away from the Word of God. But sometimes the Holy Spirit always seems to wake me up And I have up here 3 sheets. He wakes me up. Or 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'll say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah, give me that. I wrote it. Yeah, yesterday morning, I had to write this. That's an addition to what I already have done. I kind of sometimes say, Holy Spirit, you guided my whole teaching. Now it's already done. That doesn't work, by the way. You just have to go back and do this. See, that's the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not a weird person. I'm a very common person. I'm not wise enough to teach you, but I'm not teaching you. The Holy Spirit is teaching you. He's the teacher. He's the teacher. Don't ever take credit for your ability. That's God's ability. And so when you see that, the next one is this. When God sends us on a mission, God equips us to fulfill the mission. Remember what they were saying? How are we ever going to fill the Great Commission? That ain't going to work. We don't know those languages. That won't ever happen. No, He will fulfill what He asked us to do. It's just going to be there. And last, I just want to say this. Romans 16:27 says this. All glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever. The last thing I want you to write down at all of our campuses is this. Be excited this morning. All Christ followers get to do life with our all-wise God. And a person of the Holy Spirit, He's God. He lives in you. Start recognizing Him. Start talking with Him. Start praying to Him. Now, remember one thing with the Holy Spirit. He never talks about Himself. He always points us to Jesus. That's huge. He always points us to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I hope, as you've heard this morning, and then I'm going to pray for people that need to accept the Lord. If nothing changes, nothing changes. But if something changes, something changes. I'm praying that you'll be a different person, that I'll be a different person. We're not doing a life by ourselves. You have God living in you. He wants to direct you, comfort you, help you pray. Do all these things. Learn it, but then practice it. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning you've taught us a lot about your Spirit. We taught us about how wise you are. You orchestrated all this from beginning to end. The disciples had no clue. Of the 120 were clueless. But we'll see the end result is exactly what you had planned. It's exciting to do God, to do life with you, God. I want to say this morning, there's some of you here in our campus in Melbourne, Sebastian, and of course in VR and online. You've never turned your life over to God. You are not doing life with God. You don't have the Holy Spirit living in you. You're trying to do life on your own, but it will never, ever work. Or some of you may have walked away from God. And you realize today, as somebody shared with me recently, I haven't heard from the Holy Spirit in a long time. Well, I can share with you in a kind way. It isn't that the Holy Spirit isn't speaking. It's that you're not listening. And I know, with this many people in all of our campuses, thousands, that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to some of you, convicting you and saying, what you heard taught, the Holy Spirit would say, from that Bible, the Bible I wrote, is exactly what you needed to hear. You're not here by accident. I arranged for you to hear that you could be right with God by confessing your sins and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And then when you leave here, if you'll do that, when something changes, something changes. The Bible says it like this. All things pass away and everything in your life becomes brand new. I can't do that, but the Spirit can. And here's what I want to do. If you're here this morning in any of our campuses, I'm going to give you 20 seconds and that's it. You know you need to be right with Christ. You know you need to confess and pray that prayer. I'm not going to ask you to pray it now. But if you're here at any of our campuses and say, Pastor Mark, I'm ready to have my life changed. I want to do life with God. I know that he's the all-wise God. And I know one sin that will keep me from heaven. I want to confess. I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ right now, sitting here in this chair. If you say that, I want you with our hearts open, but our eyes closed. I want you to raise your hand this morning at every one of your campuses and just say, I'm making a change to my life this morning. Can I just see your hands wherever you're at this morning? Just raise them. Nobody's watching. Yes, others. Yes, others this morning. Just say, that's me. Thank you. In Vieira, remember, don't play with God. If he's spoken to you, he's got the right answer. Sebastian, exactly the same. Look at yourself. Don't leave our buildings the same as you came in, trying to do life yourself. It will not work. Anyone else, quickly? You have 5 more seconds. Just say, Pastor Mark, that's me. In the balcony, will you be honest enough with God? Just to raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me. Anyone else? If nothing changes, nothing changes. I can't do it, but the Holy Spirit can do it. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I just pray at all of our campuses. Online, by the way, there's a phone number. You can call that person right now, and they'll simply pray that prayer with you, and you'll change. And I just ask you, at the end of our service, if you raise your hand, just to walk up to your pastor. At the end, as people are going out, just walk up and say, Pastor Mark, right here. I'll be to the left of the podium. Pastor TJ's down front. Pastor David's down front. Just say to that pastor, I asked Jesus Christ to change my life today. I confess my sins. I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. See, if you do that publicly, every person Jesus Christ called, he called publicly and openly. So don't be ashamed of that. Just walk up. We just want to give you a free Bible. You say, well, I have a Bible. No, no, you don't have this Bible. This Bible tells you the first 50 pages how to walk with God. It talks about prayer and Holy Spirit and all the rest. We just want to give that to you free. And we won't bother you, but we just want to make sure that you understand the day that you make this decision is the brand new day. Because when you prayed that prayer, let me say this to you. The Holy Spirit has come to live in you right now. Right now. It's supernatural. I can't explain it, but that's what Jesus says. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We'd love to hear how God used his word today to continue to change and shape you into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Send us an email at mail@calvaryccm.com or call us toll free at 866-779-3441. And don't forget to listen to the next podcast in this series. Until next time, may God bless you, and together, let's do life right.